But I did not flunk homiletics. I just forgot what they said when I got out. Amen. I passed it. My daddy called me. He said, "Now you do what they tell you to do and get out of there and do like you want to do." We was in a meeting one day, and this fellow said, "Well, I don't see nothing to get stirred up about." I said, "Boy, I do." Amen. Amen. And I'm glad old time religion's alive and well. I'm going to use a Mase Jackson quote. Mase Jackson said, "The only folks that don't like old time religion are those who ain't never had any." You ever get a taste of it, and as we say in the country, it'll run you. Old Brother Larry Brown, he's a good buddy of mine. They were down the streets in the ghettos of Augusta, and they won this old boy to God, and he's a doper and a drunk. And I mean, you name it, that old boy been there and done that, and he got saved, and they brought him to church. And his first Sunday there, testimony meeting broke out, and he jumped up. And boy, it ain't no telling what a young convert's going to say. I mean, they don't know no Bible. They ain't learnt no religious terms yet. Now the boy just jumped up and said, "I'll tell you right now, Brother Brown, before y'all come down there and got a hold of me." He said, "I drunk beer and smoked pot and all that good stuff." He said, "But y'all ruined me the other night." Amen. Oh, I mean, you believe tonight he'll ruin you to this world. But I'm glad he's the best thing ever happened to me. I want to just pick up where I left off last night, Hebrews chapter number 11. Good to see the church house feel, but I got one thing I want to say. Where were y'all last night? I got back in last night. My wife looked at me. She said, "You know you're a fool, don't you?" I said, "Well, ain't it the first time you ever called me that? God bless you." She said, "You ought to told Melvin Payne you'd be there later." I said, "Baby, I want him to know that Jonesboro boy wasn't scared of a little water." Well, I will admit, halfway here, I got to thinking about that real good. But when I saw this man go by me in a boat, I thought, I sure do love Melvin. Oh, Lord, I seen a fellow down in Atlanta today on the TV, and he's sitting there looking around, and this straw hat kept going up down this river, just kept on going up down this river. And that news reporter said to that fellow, "Who is that out there?" He said, "Oh, that's Grandpa. He started mowing the grass last night." And he said, "Come hell or high water, he gonna mow that grass." Amen. But anyway, I'm glad to be here tonight. And boy, didn't you enjoy that good choir singing? And praise God, I've been praying Dave move on up to our place. Amen. You think God would be in that? You don't think God would be in that, do you? And about like old Red Kirby one night, he's got happy in God. He was up there in the mountains, and I don't know much you know about the mountains, but the front door may be on the level, but by the time you get to the back, it might be a 40-foot drop-off. And old Red got to shouting one night, and he said, "Whoa!" He said, "God wants me to jump out that window." He fogged that window up, and it's about 40 foot down. He said, "No, God ain't in that." Amen. But I'm glad God's people can have a good time. Amen. Amen. And a friend of mine, Brother Billy Keller, he's in heaven. And he told something funny one night. I'm amazed at some preachers. They think if you laugh or smile in church, you're being disrespectful. Man, the joy of the Lord's our strength. And old Brother Billy told something funny. I thought it was funny. Everybody else thought it was funny. And everybody, Brother Melvin, in that building laughed at what he said, but one woman. And she got mad. And she come up to him after church, that finger, I mean, just, and she just read his title clear. She looked at him, she said, "I'm going to tell you something." She said, "When I look at you, I don't even see nothing funny." He said, "When I look at you, lady, I don't either." Then, this could only happen in a Baptist church. She looked at him, she said, "If you was my husband, I'd feed you poison." He said, "If I was married to you, honey, I'd eat it, praise God." Yeah. And then he made this statement, and I've never forgotten it. He said, "If you're looking for a place to cry, there's plenty of funeral homes and graveyards and hospitals. If you're looking for a place to cry, there's plenty of that. We ought to take advantage of a good smile and a good laugh every chance we get." The Bible said a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And most Baptist folks I know need a double dose of it. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Hebrews chapter number 11. We began preaching last night from this hall of fame of faith. And we emphasize one of the characters mentioned in this chapter, a dear man of God by the name of Moses. And we begin to emphasize the faith that Moses had in God. If you were here last night, I had you underline several words in our text. These action words that give the characteristics of Moses' faith. In verse 24, we underline the word refused. Verse 25, the word choosing. Verse 26, the word esteeming. The verse 27, the word forsook. The verse 27, the word endured. And in verse 28, the word kept. And if you'll study these action words, they describe the characteristics of the faith that Moses had in God. I believe it would tonight, it would do all of us good to have a measure of that refusing faith, choosing faith, esteeming faith, forsaking faith, enduring faith, and some keeping faith. I made this statement last night. Moses had the kind of faith in God that gave him the ability to reject the wrong, but it gave him the ability to accept the right. Faith gave him the ability to reject the world and say yes to the will of God. And last night we emphasized verse 24, the word refused, and we preached on the refusing faith of Moses. And there are three things in these verses by faith he refused. Now we only got one of them last night. I'm going to give you the other two quickly and then preach on another part of this faith. But in verse number 24, he refused the position of the world. He turned his back on the throne of Egypt to be this man of faith. And I believe tonight if we're going to go with God, there are some things the world will offer us we'll have to refuse. In verse 25, he refused the pleasures of the world. He turned his back not only on the throne of Egypt, but he turned his back on the thrills of Egypt. He said no to the pleasures of the world, that he might say yes to the will of God. And then in verse number 26, he refused the possessions of this world. He not only turned his back on the throne of Egypt and the thrills of Egypt, but he turned his back on the treasures of Egypt. He rejected everything the devil put in front of him, and he was able to say yes to the will of God. I'm glad one day the Holy Spirit brought me to the crossroads. God was this way, and the world was that way. And I'm glad through faith in God, we made the right choice. And as we closed out the service with the song last night, the world behind me and the cross before me. I think I'll just go with God. How about you tonight? And I believe we need the kind of faith that gives us the ability to say no to the world and yes to the will of God. I want us to come tonight to verse number 27. I want to emphasize another word that describes the faith of Moses. The word is in verse 27, and it's the word endured. Now I want to preach for a little while tonight. You've already been told it's going to be a couple hours, so you might as well make yourself comfortable. Amen. And I want to preach tonight a little bit on that enduring faith of Moses. Look at our text in verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. You know what that word endured means? Good old fashioned stickability. He didn't stop. He didn't quit. He didn't fall short. He didn't back out, burn out, or blow out. He didn't turn around. He didn't turn back. He just kept on going when the going got tough. May I say this tonight? Because faith is real. It will not only give us the ability to make the right choices, but it will give us the ability to stay with that choice till the job is finished. Man, I have never seen so many used to be's and used to's. And boy, preacher man, I used to. I don't believe tonight God is interested in what we used to do and how faithful we used to be as much as what are we doing tonight. There are a lot of people that have quit. They've fallen back. They've turned back in this day of battle. But Moses set his face like a flint, and he didn't stop short. He didn't give up. through the dangers and the toils and the snares, he endured. He didn't quit. He kept on keeping on. I want to say tonight, church, there are no rewards for quitters. There are no rewards for cowards. There are no rewards for compromisers. There are no rewards for copycats. I believe God wants us tonight to be faithful to the finish for the glory of God. He endured. Notice next tonight, how did he endure? Notice what the Bible said. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's how he kept on going when the going got rough. He had the right focus. He had the right vision. Let me say it like this. Studying these verses, there are two truths that come to my mind. Faith not only gave him the ability to do the impossible, but faith gave him the ability to see the invisible. Man, I like that. I want to say that again. Faith not only gave him the ability to do the impossible, but faith gave him the ability to see the invisible. Why didn't he quit? Why didn't he stop? Why didn't he turn back in a time of trouble? What kept him going through the valleys? What kept him going through the heartache? What kept him going through the storm? He had the right look. He had the right vision. He had the right focus. He saw him who is invisible. He got a glimpse of him who is better than Moses. He got a glimpse of him who is better than the prophets. He got a glimpse of him who is better than Aaron and better than the angels. He got a glimpse of him who is a better sacrifice, established upon a better covenant to bring us better promises, to give us a better hope that we might obtain a better resurrection and go to a better country because we found a better way. He kept his eyes on him, and that's what kept him going in the midst of the storm. Bold Simon Peter was out there and he said, Lord, if it's really you, let me come to you. He's the one that wanted to walk on the water. And Jesus said, all right, son, come on. And son, he was a treading water. I read one liberal Bible commentator. He said there was a drought in that part of the country in that day. And what it was, there was some stumps and some rocks in about 4 inches of water, and he was walking on them rocks. You got to be stupid to believe that. He was walking on that water, and son, he was doing a pretty good job. But about that time that lightning flashed, son, that thunder clapped, that boisterous wind began to blow, and Peter made a mistake. He got his eyes off of the Savior. And son, he got his eyes on them waves and on them lightning flashes. And as soon as he did that, the Bible said he began to sink. But there's one thing about old Peter I like. He didn't wait till he was blowing up spit bubbles to call on God. As soon as he realized he was in trouble, he began to cry out to God. I believe tonight the church of Jesus Christ can live above the circumstances and walk in victory and have the touch of God. But we got to have the right focus. We got to keep our eyes on him. You get your eyes on the times and on the seasons and on the circumstances, you'll sink and the mighty waters of despair. But I want to say, take that upward look. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Get a hold of him tonight, and you can see him who is invisible. And that's why he endured. He got the right vision. He had the right focus. Notice what the Bible said, seeing him who is invisible. Now, did you know tonight, to the natural man, to a man that's not been awakened by the Holy Spirit, that verse makes no sense at all. In fact, a matter to a man that's never been enlightened by the Holy Spirit, don't any of it make any sense at all. And someone said, well, I have a hard time understanding the Bible. If you ever meet the author of it, it'll help you a whole lot. I didn't understand a lot of it either till the author come on the inside. But you take a man that's never been saved. He looks at that verse and says, man, that's a discrepancy. That's a contradiction. Because how can you see him who is invisible? If it's invisible, that means you can't see it. You see, there is a word that separates God's church from all the other organizations in this world. There is a word that separates the family of God from all the other institutions in the world. And it's that little word, faith. You know why it's a contradiction to a lost man? He don't understand faith. Well, Brother Joe, how did he see him who is invisible? Faith. Faith. Faith opened the... I feel like preaching tonight. Faith opened the window. Faith rolled back the curtain. Faith opened the door. Through the soul of faith. Through the window of faith. Through the power of faith. He looked above the clouds. Woo! He looked beyond the situation. Through faith, he was able to see him who is invisible. I love Bill Gaither's songs. One of my favorite Bill Gaither songs is, I've been to Calvary. Oh, I like that one. Bill Gaither said, I've been to Calvary. I can say I've seen the Lord. What a statement. I've been to Calvary. And I can say I've seen the Lord. Brother Gaither, how did you see him? I can say I've seen the Lord. I've been to Calvary. Here it is. Through the witness of his word. He said, through the witness of his word. I've never been to Jerusalem. And I ain't a going to the millennium. I told Maurice Templeton of Templeton Tours, I said, I'll preach on that cruise boat. I'll help you get a crowd to go to Hawaii. But I ain't a going to Israel. He said, don't you want to see the Holy Land? I said, I got a free trip coming someday. And when I go then, them Arabs won't be shooting at me. I've never been to Gordon's Calvary. I've never walked the Gabbatha Path. I've never been to Pilate's Hall. I want to tell you by faith, through the window of faith, through the door of faith, through the eye of faith, I've looked beyond this veil of tears. I've seen him who is invisible. I'm glad tonight in a world of sin and sorrow, we can keep on going when we keep our eyes on him who is invisible. You say, well, where in the life of Moses did he get a glimpse of him who is invisible? Well, let me say, first of all, I believe tonight, if you study the life of Moses, I believe he saw God's saving grace. I believe through the door of faith, Moses got a glimpse of God's saving grace. May I say this tonight, if you ever see him, if you ever have a relationship with God, if you and God ever get on speaking terms, it'll be through nothing more or nothing less than God's saving grace. In fact, no matter every move of God, every act of God, every pathos of God towards unworthy creatures like you and I is on the merits of grace. Son, I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, when you get to heaven, there'll be nobody sticking out their spiritual suspenders bragging on how good a Baptist they were. There won't be anybody in heaven bragging on their denominational power and bragging on their good works. Son, when we get to heaven and stand redeemed in his presence, we'll be there because of grace. It's the grace of God. Nothing more, nothing less. And Moses, he got a glimpse of the invisible God. I believe he saw his saving grace. You say, where did Moses see the grace of God? Well, when you come to the book of Exodus and pick up the life of Moses, especially in that third chapter, did you, when God introduces Moses in that third chapter, he's not a great leader. He's not a great prophet. He's not a great man of God. You know who he is in chapter 3? A murderer. a sinner, a cheat, a conniver, a fugitive from justice. Boy, some of these Baptists, they forgot what it was like to be lost. Boy, they're good at sticking their nose up at sinners. And may I tell you tonight, God is populating heaven with sinners that's been saved by the good grace of God. Son, Moses was a murderer. Moses was a liar. Moses was a thief. Moses was a fugitive from justice. He had murdered that Egyptian, and the Egyptian Pharaoh in law was on his trail, and Moses is running from his past. He's running from the law, and he goes out in the middle of the Meridian Desert. Nobody can find me out here. Nobody can get to me out here. I'll be all right out here. But there was somebody in the bush setting on fire business. I want to tell you, Pharaoh may not have known where he was. His mama may not have known where he was. But there was a sovereign God in heaven that was about to strike a bush in his life. And God knew where he was. Woo! Oh, aren't you glad when you was a sinner? Hey, you need it from God. Running from God. God came to where you were. God invaded your life. And when you weren't looking for God, God was looking for you. Woo! And Moses is on the backside of the desert, minding his own business, a fugitive from justice. And God stepped in and started a fire burning. And God thundered to Moses from that burning bush, "Take off your shoes, because you're standing on the holy ground." Why was it holy ground? Because the bush was on fire? Nope. Why was it holy ground? Because Moses was there? Nope. It was holy ground because God done invaded the place.
Yeah.
Wherever God comes, he deems it holy. That's why it's called a holy book, because God's in that Bible. That's why it's called the Holy Ghost, because you can't separate him from the Holy Father. That's why we're going to a holy city, because God's going to be there. Hey! God walked on that scene, struck up that fire, and said, "Moses, take off your shoes." And brother, if you don't believe he saw the grace of God, the first thing Moses did at that burning bush, he began to say, "Who am I?" Boy, if he'd have been a good Baptist, he'd have said, "God, my name is Moses, and you need me." If he'd have been a good Baptist, he'd have said, "Hey, dude, my name's Moses. You need me, and I'm reporting for duty." But son, he done got struck down by the awesome holiness of God. And he's going, "Who am I? Who am I? Who am I?" And you know, God never answered him. God never answered him. He never told him who he was. But he did tell him who God was. Moses says, "Who am I? Who am I?" And God said, "It don't matter who you are. Let me tell you who I am. Who are you? I'm God. I am that I am." At that burning bush, God struck him down, and Moses realized he was nothing, and God was everything. And did you know that Moses never got over what happened at that burning bush? You say you got any scripture for that? You ought to know me better. I wouldn't preach it if I didn't have no scripture for that. You say, "Well, what makes you say Moses never got over it?" All right, you ready? Moses is 80 years old when God interrupts his retirement. You read the first two chapters of Exodus. He was on the backside of the Meridian Desert, and the Bible said he was content to dwell with the man, but God. Boy, there's some folks here tonight nodding that little head because you're glad God wrote another chapter in your life.
Amen.
Woo! Suppose the book would have closed on the night before you met God. Holy Butler, aren't you glad God wrote another chapter?
Hallelujah.
Hey,
yeah.
I'm glad God,
God wrote another chapter. Moses is on the backside of the desert and God strikes up a fire.
Amen.
He's 80 years old. God strikes up a fire. Watch this. And for the next 40 years, he serves God.
Amen.
On top of the mount, in the book of Deuteronomy, he's at the ripe old age of 120. And God said, get out your pen and write the fifth book of the Pentateuch. Write the book of remembrance. And remind the people who they were, what they were, and where they were when God found them. Out of all of the experiences, Melvin, you better get ready to run. This is a running point right here now. Out of all of the experiences Moses could have took them back to, you know where he took them? He made this statement. He said, I want to commend you unto the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. He's 120. It's been over 40 years. And he's still hung up. How about that bush? The fire is still burning. Hey, I believe there's some people in this building tonight. You're still hung up over it. You're still excited about it. You've never got over what God did at the burning bush when God rearranged your life. Old Brother Billy Kelly, you didn't have to hear him preach about once. He's going to tell you about what happened to him that night when he stepped from the bottom to the top. Billy Kelly was playing fiddle with Archie Campbell on a radio station in Knoxville before Nashville ever came into its prominence. And he was life of party. And boy, one day he'd been drunk about all day, about all night, and he passed out in Joe McDonald's pool hall on Gay Street. Dear God, what a terrible place to pass out. Joe McDonald's pool hall on Gay Street, downtown Knoxville. He said about 4 o'clock, some guys walked in, had them some gospel tracks. And Brother Melvin, I want to run me a little rabbit right here. It takes a blooming idiot of a preacher. I said it takes a blooming idiot of a preacher to preach against soul winning, witnessing, passing out tracks, and reaching little boys and girls for the glory of God. There's some camp meetings I'm not going to go back to, because if I leave that meeting and I don't have a better burden for souls and a deeper burden for souls, I don't need to hang around that outfit. Let me just clear the air. I'm not a Calvinist nor a hyper-Calvinist. I'm a first-class card-toting bona fide whosoever will. Red and yellow and black and white, they're all precious in His sight. And God Almighty has never relieved the church from their responsibility to tell the world Jesus saved. Amen, son. Preach on right there. Hallelujah, glory to God. You make me do my own amen and I'll take up my own offering. I've been a few places where I should have. I like what Brother Sammy Allen said one time. Brother Sammy Allen said, I'm going to tell you what I like about them tracks. Hey, I'm going to tell you what I like about them tracks. He said, hey friend, them tracks will track you down.
Yeah.
Now in your right mind, come on baby, in your right mind, what in the world could be so wicked with me walking up to somebody and saying, Jesus loves you? What could be wrong with that? Our church has been praying for you and we love you and Jesus will save you if you'll call on Him. You tell me in your right mind, son, what could be wrong with that? You used to see nothing wrong with that. When you first got saved, you believed like that. Oh, but now you've gone into the deeper things of God. If you've got so deep, you've lost your burden for poor sinners on the way to hell with that God. You didn't go deeper. You got dumber.
Amen.
One more time. Amen, son. Preach on, my terrible boy.
God didn't tell sinners to hunt us up. He told us to go out for them.
Yeah.
Amen. He that goeth forth weeping and bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Go to the highways, go to the hedges. Brother, the commission to the church is go.
Yes, yes.
Boy, he's laying there in his vomit drunk. Them boys come in with them tracks. They said, get up, Brother Billy, get up, Billy, get up, Billy. Let's go to revival tonight. And he fought. Here's a good excuse. He said, I got a date. I asked him one time, I said, why'd you use that for excuse? He said, because I knew that old girl I was dating was meaner than I was. Well, them old boys was ready, Brother Melvin. One of them said, well, if we call her and ask her. Then she said, it's all right, will you go? He said, yeah, she'll never say yes. Honey, they called that girl up and said, hey, can we take old Red to revival? She said, Lord God, if you can get that heathen to go to church, take him. He said, so they spent 2 hours riding me around the block, pouring coffee down my goozle. Took him in the bathroom, took a wet paper towel and wiped the vomit off his clothes and off his face. And Brother Billy said, I thought we was going to go to a little old mountain church for maybe 50. He said, they took me downtown Knoxville to the auditorium of the volunteers. He said, I walked in out of, he said, they had 400 people in the choir. And he said, I walked in the vestibule. He said, that usher said, not in here. Drunks go upstairs. He said, so I got upstairs and he said, and I'm not trying to be smart, but those of you that live that kind of life, you know what happens to you when you're about half lit anyway and get hot? You pass out. I was preaching that one night and old Donald said, you puke. And he said he passed out. But he said, I slipped through the singing. I slipped through the preaching. He said, but come invitation time. He said, I woke up and I had never been as sober in my life. He said that 400 voice choir was singing. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. And he said, my mind went back to listening to the radio. Had an old Church of God preacher that preached on the radio in Oliver Springs, Tennessee. And the only sermon he had was, get right with God. How to work. How to work. And he said, boy, I held on to that pew. And he didn't find this out until later on. There was an elderly gentleman down front. And he looked up the balcony and saw him. And he ran up there and said to the evangelist, preacher, there's a young man up there in that balcony. Said, if that old boy would get saved, ain't no telling what God would do with him. Will you sing one more verse?
Yeah.
And that evangelist stepped to that pulpit. He said, all right, for the young man in the balcony, one more verse. Billy, I'm trying to tell it for you. Woo! Just one more verse. How many of you glad that night God was dealing with you? He sung one more verse and God gave you one more chance. Said that preacher stepped to the pulpit and said, now son, he said, you just by faith step out in that aisle. You take the first step, God will take the next step.
Amen.
Brother Billy Kelly said, I preached for 47 years and never told nobody to do that. He said, but it worked for me.
Amen.
He said, I stand on that pew and I thought, well, what good would that, you know, I mean, how could that hurt? He said, so I just stuck at that. He said, before I knowed it, it was in the aisle and the other one was behind it. Said, I ran down them balcony steps, busted through them vestibule doors. He said, I was coming down that center aisle. And he said, I got about to the fifth row and I give out a wind. And I fell on my face and I crawled the rest of the way. He said, I played baseball all through high school. And he said, a lot of times I'd slide into home and the umpire'd call me out. He said, but that night, when I slid in home, He said the heavenly umpires save. Woo! You remember that night when you was a sinner and you needed from God? God was the furthest thing from your mind. But God took the initiative. He came to where you were. He struck up a fire and you never got over it. Thank God for the wonder of God's saving grace. Billy Kelly, nearly every time he'd preach, he had to talk about stepping from the bottom to the top. One day he was up north and a little Yankee lady came to him and she said, My Reverend Kelly. She said, when are you going to talk about something else? He said, honey, when something better than that happens to me, I'll talk about it. But until then, I'm going to talk about it. Woo! Moses is 100 and... Did you get what I... Y'all getting anything over here? Moses is 120. It's been 40 years, but he's still excited about it.
Amen.
And the fire's still burning. And Moses never got over the wonder. I'm telling you tonight, there was a day in my life, through faith, I saw God's saving grace. He saw his saving grace. Number two, I got to hurry. Something else he saw about this invisible God. He not only saw his saving grace, but Moses saw God's sustaining goodness. He not only saw that God was good enough to save him, but he was God enough to see him through the journey. Oh, can I just say right here, God is good. God is good. God is good. I'm glad the same God that reached out and saved me is the same God that can keep me. Brother, you said a while ago in your song, that's a good one, that you had no complaints about the Heavenly Father. I ain't got none either. You say, where did Moses see God sustaining goodness? Where didn't he see God sustaining goodness? Son, God got them out there on that journey and they got hungry one day and said, Moses, we're hungry. We need something to eat. Moses said, well, y'all go to bed and go to sleep. And instead of counting sheep, I'm going to talk to the shepherd. And when they woke up in the morning, there was this mysterious, round, white looking stuff. And they didn't know what it was, so they called it manna. And that word manna in the Hebrew means, what is it? Woo! What is it? You see, mama didn't make it from scratch. You know what manna literally is? God's unexplainable blessings. I had a taste of that today. Somebody said, what'd you eat for breakfast? I had me a big old helping of God's unexplainable blessings. I live in God's unexplainable blessings.
Come on, Joe.
I'm doing my best.
Yes, sir.
Keep hollering at me and I might get there.
Come on, son, go.
Hi. God's unexplainable blessings. I sleep in God's unexplainable blessings. I drive God's unexplainable blessings. I'm married to God's unexplainable blessing. I pester God's I'm here to tell you I'm glad we that are saved every day of our life can experience God's unexplainable blessing. I can hear Dad say, Ma, rustle up another bowl of that. What is it? Manna. What we gonna have for supper, Ma? We gonna have another heaping of that. What is it? Is there anybody in this room tonight that has sat at the table and helped yourself in a big old dish of God's unexplainable blessings?
About tonight.
Woo! I do feel like preaching.
Mama hadn't never made none before. No. They never ate none before. No. Didn't nobody have no recipe. They just walked out there and whammo bambo, baby, there it was. I want to tell you, God's been so good to this old boy. Every once in a while I have to go, wow, is it really me? And the Holy Ghost say, nope, it's me. Oh, I'm glad tonight. I've never seen him face to face, but I've glimpsed him who is invisible. I've got a glimpse of God's unexplainable blessing. If you tell me to come on one time, I'm going to have a stroke, dude. Preaching my guts out. And I got going, preach it, preach it. I'm doing the best I can. Woo! I was thinking coming down here tonight, I got married. Well, actually, I took the church where I've been pastor now 20 years. I took the church the first Sunday in October. Got married the first Sunday in November. Moved to Atlanta the same day I got married. And God just left me here. I can't find a better church and they don't know the difference. I walked in, man, they ain't never had a good preacher, so they wouldn't know what a good one was like. I got them hoodwinked. But I walked in this place tonight and I seen some folks sitting back there that had been with me the whole 20 years. And I thought, dear God, didn't they get enough Sunday? Jimmy Fleming, they've heard everything I know. They've heard everything I got to say. I'm like you. I preached everything I knew and some things I wasn't sure of. Woo! My little old girl, Joanna, she's growing up now. She's getting more proper. But son, there was a time, son, when she was a 220. One night, I went over to, Brother Bearden, Doug, Brother Doug's church. And I, Central Holiness Church, and I preached, I'm just kidding. And I preached over there one night on that, and I shall be anointed with fresh oil. She heard me preaching at our church. She heard me preach it at the noon and camp meeting. And God laid on my heart to preach it. And I preached it over there. Well, come back here the next year, and God laid it on my heart again. Well, I got through preaching. I was wringing wet with sweat. And she said, Daddy, I'm going to go with you to change. And y'all first built that gym. And we walked in that building and she looked at me and she said, Daddy, you preached that message 1,000 times. She said, but it really worked tonight. Hey! I'm going to tell you, boys, look back through the years. Look back over your life. You'll have to say, it's been God. It's been God. God's unexplainable blessing. I was preaching on that manna one night on that What Is It? In Thomasville, North Carolina. A little girl will come up to me. She said, Brother Joe, my mother's sick. She can't walk far. She wants to see you in the back. And I walked back there and I said, what is it? You'll get that in a minute. You blondes are going to get that in a minute now. Just hang with me. And I said, ma'am, what is it? She said, can I tell you a story? I said, sure, a testimony. I said, sure. She said, I've been sick for years. And she said, the last 6 months of my life, it's really been a horrible experience. She said, I got down where I didn't even have a car. My daughter's been having to haul me around just to pay my bills. And she said the other day we were coming back from the doctor. And my daughter said, Mama, I want some hash browns from McDonald's. And she said, Brother Joe, I don't even like McDonald's or hash browns. But to appease my daughter, I stopped and got her a 95-cent box of hash browns. And I passed that box and on the side was a little tag that said, pull me. And she said, I pulled that tag, and she said, it said, congratulations. You are the proud winner of a Candy Apple Red Corvette Stingray. $45,000 automobile. She said, all of a sudden, I got a renewed appreciation for McDonald's and Hasbro. I see it. I Brother Melvin, I'm not a prophet, but I see this crowd tonight. The drive through McDonald's will be 4 miles long, I guarantee you. Brother Dave, she said, I ran in that store and I said, look, is that true? And that lady said, I don't know, but got a number of confirmation. Let me call the home office. A few minutes, that lady come back. She said, ma'am, it's true. It's yours. Now, I want to tell this part of the story very, very discreetly and dedicately, whatever. This lady was not real small. Let's just say she was value size. Is that the way to do? Well, how would you do it, O'Neill? You'd get up and say, she's fat. That's what you do. But that lady looked at that picture and she said to that woman, she said, ma'am, I'm a pretty good sized lady. And that's a little bitty car. I don't think I can fit in it. She got her on the phone to the home office. She said, I appreciate it, but I don't know if I can get in it or not. That lady said, don't worry about it. We'll just send you a check in the morning for $45,000. Oh, by the way, ma'am, for this month, there's a $5,000 rebate on that car. We'll just send you a check for $50,000. Listen to this. Her church needed $5,000 to pay some back bills. Her tithes was $5,000. You preachers are going like this one. She gave her preacher $1,000 to go on him a new truck. Then she bought her a Chevrolet Trailblazer and had some money left over. Yeah. To finish the story, she was setting up in that Trailblazer, honking that horn, and she went, how you like me, what is it? She said, I just wanted to show you my what is it. Well, honey, I ain't got a Corvette, but I'm here to tell you, I know what it's like. God, to step out on the scene in the middle of New York, in the middle of your nowhere, and do what you cannot explain. Seeing him who is invisible, I'm done. He saw his saving grace. He saw his sustaining goodness. I close with this tonight. Seeing him who is invisible, he saw God's supernatural glory. Woo! He saw God's supernatural glory. You say, where did he see that, preacher? You remember in the book of Exodus when he got discouraged and disappointed and got mad and threw those commandments on the ground? And God came by Brother Rhodes and said, Moses, what do you need? And he said, Lord, show me thy glory. God said, okay. But before I do, I need to tell you something. There's a place by me. Well, I'm glad I found that place. Whew. That's by God. Amen. And in that special place, in that secret place, in that special place, God does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And God said, son, I'm going to pass by and give you a little glimpse of my glory. And son, God passed by that day and Moses came off of that mountain. And they said, Lord God, what happened to you? Put a veil. He had so much God on him, he had to put a veil over his face. One of them said, dear God, Moses, what happened to you? He said, boys, I've been in the presence of God and I got the glow on me. Oh, aren't you glad in this world of sin and sorrow we can get along with God in that sacred place and get a glimpse of his glory and get the glow of God on us again? But you say, preacher, when did he really see God's supernatural glory? Well, he came down to die. God took him on top of Mount Nebo. Whoop. Let me ask you this tonight. Tell me, you theologians, how did Moses die? We don't know. The Bible said his natural forces were not abated. That means he died a healthy man.
I like what Mays Jackson said. Mays Jackson said, I tell you how Moses died. God took him on top of Mount Nebo and smothered him to death with Holy Ghost kisses. But I do know this. The Bible said his natural forces were not abated. I seen this lady the other day. She said, if you're sick, you're out of the will of God. I said, really? She said, if you're sick, you've got sin in your life somewhere. I said, well, let me ask you this. I said, how you going to die if you don't get sick? You know what her answer was? Well, your heart had just quit beating. I start to say, here's your sign. Oh, don't look at me like, oh, no, you're not that spiritual. I said, ma'am, the last time I read the medical book, that's called heart failure. Let me lay something real deep on you. If you don't make it tonight and you die, something happened to you. But Moses died on that mountain and his natural forces were not abated. How did he die? I don't know. One day we're going to find out. Let me tell you what I've just been thinking about lately. Well, you remember back over there in Exodus when Moses said, Lord, show me thy glory. And God said, I'll let you see a little bit, but you can't see my face and live. You can't see my face. That's where you ought to holler. Come on, Joe, right there. Yeah. He said, you can't see my face and live. But he don't have to live anymore. After this, he's at the end of the journey. Here's how I believe he died. I believe God took him on top of Mount Nebo, but wasn't nobody there but Moses and God. God said, Moses, Moses. You remember that day when you said you wanted to see me? And I told you you couldn't see my face and live. Well, Moses, you're at the end. You don't have to live. So I tell you what I'm going to do. You remember you said you wanted to see me? Here I am, Moses. And I believe Moses... He went out in the glory. I do know this. He closed his eyes on this side. And when he woke up on the other side, he was in the presence of that one that he met at the burning bush. I'm telling you tonight, one day, we're going to see him face to face and tell the story. Say by grace. But until then, by faith, I want to see him who is invisible. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you tonight. Lord, we have enjoyed preaching to our friends in this place. Thank you, Lord, for their hunger for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach somewhere where they understand the Word of God and want the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus, for being a good Savior. Lord, I take that back. Thank you for being the only Savior. Woo! Hallelujah. And I appreciate the day that you let me get a glimpse of you. And oh, God, help us to press on in this journey by keeping our focus on Him. Help us tonight. Do for us in this low land of sin and sorrow what we cannot do for ourselves. Lord, I promise you, on this side of the river and on the other side of glory, we'll thank you and praise you for the goodness of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.